We'll now move into the study session agenda for the study session for Monday, October 5th, 2009. The first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular city council meeting agenda. Okay, we'll begin with page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. Okay, thank you. Nothing else. Councilmember Kavanaugh duly or dutifully reminded me that Councilmember Summers is not here, so we excuse him. Go ahead.
He will.
I believe he'll be on the phone, though, for the council.
For the regular session.
Yeah, he's not here, but he's
okay.
On the phone.
Okay, so I apologize to him for not recognizing that he was not with us tonight. Councilmember Higgins, you have
Yep, Mayor, I missed item 8A on page 5.
8A on page 5.
I missed it the other day also, so I can't.
Annexing one parcel of land located in the Sunrise Heights subdivision.
Right.
0.15 acres.
Is there anybody there? I see Christine. She can answer that, right? No? The question is, the general plan states this as a low area residential, which 1 to 2 dwelling units per acre, which is usually like R135, but the properties in the Mesa current zoning designation of R16, which is a huge difference. So is that, oh, there's John. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. I forgot. You're getting so thin, we just didn't see you over there.
Councilmember Higgins, John Wesley. John Wesley,
Hi.
Councilmember Higgins.
Nice to meet you.
So your actual question is the disparity between the existing zoning and the general plan designation?
Yes, sir.
It's an existing condition that we're inheriting from the county, so the existing condition will be able to continue. Should they want to rezone the property to something other, it would have to be to the general plan category without changing the general plan. But today there will not be any issue because the zoning that's there will stay with the property.
But in other situations where things like this have come up, you have said, well, we can't annex the property because it doesn't meet the general plan for that area. There's been instances in our past discussions. And this fits because?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, because of the developed nature of the situation, I think where we've had those issues before, it's when it hasn't been developed, and there may be some changes coming that we'll need to work out those consistency issues with.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Ms. Benner?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, I was just going to add, under state law, we have to bring them in with the comparable zoning. So there's really not an option there. It becomes an analysis with the general plan if they rezone, as John said.
Our decision is either to annex and accept the zoning or not annex.
That's correct,
and let
Mayor.
It stay as is.
But, John, maybe the confusion is we've done comparable zoning in the past for other parcels as part of the eventually part of the process, correct?
Right. That will have to happen in this case, too. You'll
right.
see sometime in the next couple of months a comparable zoning case that changes to the city zoning, which will be comparable to this zoning. But because of that annexation and it's following through on the state statute requirements, that that issue of compatibility with the general plan has not come up.
So, and they don't need to have a minor general plan amendment?
No.
And is that a size requirement that kicks that off, like X amount of acreage? Okay.
And sometimes, John, we will, if someone is seeking annexation, undeveloped parcel, part of our discussion with them is being consistent or eventually coming to be consistent with the general plan. And that may take multiple steps as part of the annexation, but sometimes that's one of the conditions that we talk about as part of the annexation. Is that correct?
Okay, one more question. So supposing this R16 actually had a assisted living location, would that now say that doesn't meet our general plan for that area, so we would be not either annexing or not, just like the mayor said.
Well, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, at that point we would potentially have a zoning issue also of not being conforming with the zoning ordinance and be a legal nonconformity that would have its own set of issues that would go with it if they want to continue to add, expand, modify, and not being consistent with the zoning.
But once again, I mean, if you have an assisted living facility, you would think that that is conforming with whatever zoning category exists in the county that allows an assisted living facility. So there shouldn't be, there should not be a conflict between county zoning and current use. There shouldn't, but I know there may be,
right.
But there should not be.
That's true.
So we shouldn't have an issue where the conforming zoning would be in conflict with the existing land use. In that
at the time of annexation, assuming that the county, yes.
Because if we have an assisted living in an R16 and that is that violates the county zoning, then they have a non-conforming use.
Mayor, what we'll see a lot of times with county zoning is they use a lot of special use permits.
Okay.
To authorize uses within a zoning district that we don't have the same types of zoning designations for.
So if that happens, and let's say there's a one zoning category with a special use permit that overrides the zoning category or allows the use within that, do we change the zoning? Does that then, that use then become the comparable use zoning category that we would apply?
Yes, Mayor, when that would come in, by our zoning code, we say that we'll accept whatever special use permit has already been established on the county, and that can continue. The slight difficulty that sometimes come in is that may have a limitation by the county, a time limitation, in which when it's going to expire, and by that time they need to either have rezoned to the appropriate MESA category, or it becomes a non-conforming.
So we can accept the special use permit, and does that just carry over with the land, or is that as a condition to annexation?
It runs with the land.
Okay. That make sense?
Well, that's additional information. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else on the agenda? Then the next item is hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Councilmember Fenter.
Mayor, I just wanted to let you know I had the opportunity to participate in the household hazardous waste disposal as a customer, just going out dropping off some old paint. I was so impressed with the efforts of all the volunteers, a mile backup, tremendously used by the citizens of Mesa, but to watch the logistics, the positive customer service that was received, it's just an amazing experience, and I don't think we've had the opportunity to really thank those folks for the good work that they do out there, and talk about a green effort that's kept so much out of the landfills and out of our alleys and things. So really wanted to thank those folks for the good works that they do out there.
And is this the time, first time that they accepted prescription medication?
Yeah, Mayor, and we should have posted the hazardous waste event for the city council because we had a variety of you out there. And we noticed that the...
How many calls did you get?
One, two, three, four, at least three. And it was good because we had an overwhelming response out there. And we usually do have a very good response for these events. What we're finding out, I was suggesting, as I thought it was a legitimate excuse to the council on Saturday morning for the lines being long, was the idea that we had done this for the first time, we were accepting prescription drugs. But actually, from what I understand from Mr. Friedline, that actually was moving pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. What we're finding, though, is probably a part of the transition in the electronic age, is a lot of the appliances and electronic items that are being recycled. And that's an area where we may need to look for a different approach. Is that right, Christine?
Right. We actually had over 1,100 cars there on Saturday. The average wait time didn't exceed half an hour. So the staff really did a phenomenal job. And thank you to Councilmember Higgins and also Councilmember Summers, who were out there sort of helping with traffic control or some visiting. Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're an engineer. You don't know averages? I mean, average lengths, average designs.
Yeah, there's a standard deviation there. Some of them are a little higher. But we will be talking with Solid Waste Department about the appliances and the electronics to see if there's maybe some other options there that we can offer more frequently.
But the good news is we did get everybody through the line. Is that correct?
We never shut the event down when there are people in line. We always bring them all through.
And they did close the gate when everybody got through at 12:15.
Yeah, 12:20.
So the good news is this is a great response, great event, and as the councilman was saying, we are diverting a tremendous amount of tonnage away from the landfills, and so when you start adding up that avoided cost, it really is, and plus the volunteers and all the effort that's out there, it's a great event, and we'll look at it, and maybe we've talked about already starting to think about maybe there's some things we can do with the appliance electronic drop-off, because that's becoming so popular, maybe find another
way to address that, to kind of parse out the line a little bit better. But thank you all for coming out there, and it was a great event.
Mayor, I'd like to suit up next time. We'll let you offload cars.
I wanted to add that there were, when I was there, about 10 to 12, 7 5-gallon buckets, you guys know what those are, paint cans, full of just prescription medication taken out of the bottles. So that
we had
was
over 35 gallons just of prescription drugs,
not the bottles.
Just the pills.
The pills, 35. Oh, yeah. Which
well,
really
that has real impact, because while it hasn't happened to us yet, there are other cities that have had that starting to show up in their wastewater and even in the recharge.
Well, Mayor, it also is the bigger issue. A big issue also in all communities now is, unfortunately, we have a lot of youth who are taking the prescriptions from their parents and using those to create very dangerous cocktails. And so getting this out of the homes where it's not needed and disposing of it correctly is also another benefit.
Great. Well, thank you. I mean, you know, that's a great problem to have so many people show up that you'll need to figure out what to do the next time. So thank you so very much for that. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Saturday morning, I had the opportunity to go to an event that was benefiting Dobson High School's orchestra. As you know, they've been invited to perform in the World Expo in Shanghai next June, and it was really gratifying to see one of our hometown family-owned auto dealerships, the Burge dealerships, were there doing test drives and donating money to the orchestra for every test drive that occurred. And it was a wonderful event, gave people the opportunity to make their ECA tax credit donations to the orchestra. And those students and parents and the community is working very hard, but it was a great community event. But I truly appreciated one of our local businesses taking the time to partner on such a good arrangement with the high school. Thank you.
Anything else? I returned yesterday from Seattle, where I attended the the fall leadership meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Very enlightening time, as we heard from 3 cabinet secretaries and several in the Obama administration. If it's any good news, most other cities around the country are having the same financial problems we are. But it was good to be around a lot of different mayors from literally every part of the country to find out what they're doing. And I will say this, after hearing their tales and hearing what they're doing, I'm very proud of what we're doing here in the city of Mesa, because I would say that of all the mayors who reported, and we had one session where literally, this was a somewhat of a small gathering, there was only 50 of us or so, and nearly every mayor went around and reported what they had done to adjust to the new financial environment and some of the challenges they had and some of the initiatives they had put in. I mean, I was literally, other than the fact that we're talking about money problems, I was very proud to report of what Mesa had done, because I think, at least in that group, that we would match up against anybody in this country about the way that we have approached our financial situation. So that's a real compliment to the city staff and to the rest of you on the council. And this community should know about it, because, you know, as we're explaining, I will guarantee you there are many, many cities in this country that still are struggling to how to get a hold of what even to where to start. And they're as far into it as we are. And that was a recurring theme. So, you know, although we're certainly not out of the woods yet, I'm convinced we'll have ongoing challenges and we'll have to probably dig deeper and be more creative in that in the future. Until this crisis passes, I feel very, very confident that we are approaching this in a way that that is reasonable, it's responsible, and literally is an example for others. I had many mayors come up to you after and said, now wait a second, you did what with your police and fire departments, and you were able to do what with your development services? And they were very impressed by the things that we were able to do working together as staff and council to truly come up with not only a solution to our problems, but also a plan which I believe takes us into the future much better positioned to be an effective and efficient organization and continue to provide high level of quality service to our citizens. So that made me feel awfully, awfully proud to be from Mesa. So thank you for allowing me that opportunity. But once again, one of the big themes was how we are moving forward to create economic opportunities and also to take care of the green economy, you know, climate change, and or however you want to describe it, however you want to describe it, is a real issue that is being dealt with by many mayors. And we are doing a great job from an environmental stewardship standpoint. We just talked about a great program that we had last Saturday. And the things that we are doing, once again, matches up very well. And I think that shows that we don't have to politicize things that are just good common sense, like taking care of our environment. As I look at our recycling programs, as our energy conservation programs, the things we're doing in our city and our fleets with our hazardous waste, we truly have model programs across the board, and as that can match up against what anyone else is doing in the country. So, you know, that's what's good about going to these conferences, is you get to see what others are doing, talk to them, hear from them, and also share ideas with them so y'all can learn. So that's my report. Vice Mayor.
I just remembered, I had a little bit of fun on Friday morning as we had Vice Mayor Tom Simplot come over from Phoenix to pay his obligation. And thank you all for signing that T-shirt that I presented to him saying, it all starts here, the light rail begins in Mesa, because Sycamore Station is still the most boarded station in the whole system. And it was a little fun to have him do some cleaning and get down on his knee and clean some gum off one of the pavers and wipe down things.
Has Phoenix paid in full now?
Well,
because if they haven't, I'll go to Mayor Gordon. We'll collect from him.
I think we got what we needed.
Good. Okay.
It was enjoyable.
Enjoyable? No, I think that's a it's a great accomplishment. I was with, as another thing, we this morning we Mayor John Hickenlooper from Denver and I and Mayor Bob Walkup of Tucson gave a presentation to the National Association of Regional Councils. I know that sounds very boring, but it's people like MAG, Maricopa Association of Governments. Their cohorts from around the country are meeting in Phoenix, and we took Mayor Hickenlooper and took him on the light rail and told him all about what Mesa had done, and so it was very good. So I got to make a presentation before them about building a region and regional cooperation and the role that we play in helping things happen. So he was very impressed with our light rail. First time he'd seen it, so it's great. Okay, anything else? Great. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. We hope the council likes pancakes because this Wednesday, October 7th, the fire department will be hosting a pancake breakfast to celebrate a fire prevention week. It'll be at Station 201. And the pancake breakfast goes from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Oh, it's the old.
It's the old 201.
Old one. Right. Sorry. On Thank you. Street. The one First Street. Yeah, it's over here, across the way. Sorry. Then we remind the council that Thursday we have a study session, and then that'll be followed by an audit and finance committee meeting. And then District 1 has their pancake breakfast at Fire Station 211 on Saturday morning. Horn.
Yeah, on Horn, north of McKellips, between McKellips and Lehigh Road.
There you go. And then Saturday, October 17th, Vice Mayor has his pancake breakfast at Fire Station 202, I think. And just a reminder also, at the end of the month, we will have, on Saturday, October 24th, is the GAIN event, and the police department will be working with you to go out on visit different neighborhoods that are working on that. And then finally, on Halloween Day, Saturday, October 31st, is our City Hall at the Mall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Superstition Springs Mall. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else needs to be brought before the council? Good. I have a motion to adjourn.
Move for adjournment.
Motion from the Vice Mayor, second by Councilmember Richens. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. We'll meet upstairs. Thank you.